This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon, it's Friday, February 14th, and I'm Megan McNamara bringing you RCR's Daily Brief. First up, Jennifer Bainbridge will bring you the news. Then we'll hear a little of an interview that Paul Brennan did with Whangarei Mayor Vince Kokorumu yesterday afternoon about councillors facing the threat of jail time for refusing to fluoridate the local water supply. And then we'll finish up the week with Natalie Cutler-Welsh and RCR Signpost. Now to the news.
Good afternoon, I'm Jen Bainbridge for RCR. Robert Kennedy Jr. has been confirmed by the US Senate as Director of Health and Human Services overnight. Kennedy faced fierce opposition from the medical establishment. Trump will direct Kennedy to investigate the country's chronic disease epidemic under the auspices of the Make America Healthy Again Commission. Republicans united behind the nomination of the establishment outsider, with the exception of Senator Mitch McConnell. Despite Kennedy's decades of work to expose safety issues with the childhood vaccination schedule in the US and his campaigning against the COVID-19 vaccine, he has pledged to protect the existing vaccination programs. Large amounts of physical gold have reportedly been transferred to US banks, leading to shortages in London. Financial analysts speculated that the movement was due to the US being seen as a safe haven amid rising market uncertainty caused by the Trump administration's new tariffs. Tariffs can increase inflation, and gold is historically viewed as a store of value during uncertain times. The price of gold has surged by around 53% over the past 12 months, reflecting growing economic concerns and a push to safeguard wealth. Meanwhile, buyers in China have also been heavily purchasing gold over the past 3 months. While the reason for this activity remains unclear, some have suggested it could be part of a larger financial shift, possibly linked to plans to reattach the US dollar to gold. Back home, Finance Minister Nicola Willis has criticised the supermarket industry, blaming high prices and limited product choices on the duopoly of Foodstuffs and Woolworths. Speaking at the New Zealand Economics Forum, Willis called for regulatory changes to encourage more competition, but did not outline any specific policy proposals. Meanwhile, Energy Minister Simon Watts has held discussions with major electricity companies, including Genesis, Mercury, Meridian and Contact Energy, over concerns about rising power prices this winter. Watts has commissioned Frontier Economics to conduct a market review, with findings expected by the end of June. A major class action lawsuit has been filed against pharmaceutical giant Johnson & Johnson. The case alleges the company misled consumers for nearly two decades about the effectiveness of phenylephrine, an oral decongestant now believed to be ineffective. The drug was promoted as an alternative to pseudoephedrine, which faced restrictions due to its potential misuse in drug manufacturing. Australian law firm JGA Sadler estimates that the lawsuit could become one of New Zealand's largest. Turning back to international news, the US and Russia have agreed to begin negotiations to end the war in Ukraine following what US President Donald Trump describes as a lengthy and highly productive phone call. Although no date has been set, Trump told reporters at the White House that the two leaders would meet in Saudi Arabia. And now to RCR Quick Links. Journalist and activist Liz Gunn's Auckland Airport assault conviction has been overturned by the High Court. Waipa District Council has been ordered to add fluoride to water in Cambridge, but may join a multi-council legal challenge against the edict. Sir Geoffrey Palmer has claimed the Treaty Principles Bill process is fundamentally flawed. Australian businesses could now be fined up to $50 million if they do not maintain strong scams defences. The US Senate has confirmed that Tulsi Gabbard will be the new Director of National Intelligence. Power prices in the Baltic states have nearly doubled after they disconnected from Russia's power grid, ending nearly 8 years of energy dependence on Moscow. And France and Senegal have set terms for a withdrawal of all French soldiers stationed in the West African country by the end of this year. And that's RCR Bytes News for today, 14 February. I'm Jen Bainbridge.
The heated debate over water fluoridation is intensifying, with a divide between supporters and opponents growing wider. This week, the battle is hitting local government hard as some councils continue to resist the Director General of Health's mandatory order to fluoridate, and councillors are now facing the threat of jail time for non-compliance, a step up from the previously considered fines. This escalation comes just days after New Zealand First leader Winston Peters introduced a members bill aimed at returning the decision-making power over fluoridation to local communities. Let's hear Whangarei Mayor Vince Kokorulo's thoughts on this matter.
Whangarei District Council is risking imprisonment for its politicians as it continues to defy the government fluoridation order, lawyers have warned. We had Winston on. Winston said, don't blame the Director General. They are compelled to do this by law. And I'm sure he has a point there. But the heavy-handedness and the risk of imprisonment, really?
Yeah. Well, these are the things that we've heard as well. At the end of the day, we've broken no laws. So, you know, we can't be imposed of anything if we've broken no laws.
So how come it's an issue then if you haven't broken any laws?
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what we keep bringing up. If we've broken no laws, people can I use the word threat, but people can say this is what they're going to do. Yet if we've broken no laws, there's no real point in proceeding any further. It's one of those things that people in certain positions do from time to time.
So what happens next in this game?
We've filed the court proceedings, I believe. I believe that's happening either today or tomorrow. A letter has gone back to the Director General. That will be happening tomorrow, explaining our situation. We've asked for in the court proceedings. We've said, look, we want a ratification over what is actually safe for fluoride. We've asked for whether the Director General of Health actually technically has the mandate to dictate, because in other sections of the Health Act and also in the Water Services Act, it actually clearly states that the District Council is actually responsible. And on top of that, under the Local Government Act, it clearly states that the local councils are put in place to look after the will of the people, which is the community that they represent. So there is several acts there. So we've asked for clarification of that, because at the end of the day, which act takes precedence over another?
It's unclear where this will end up. Despite strong opposition from many communities, Director General of Health Diana Safari and Minister of Health Simeon Brown show no sign of backing down. However, with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now confirmed as the US Health and Human Services Director and his vow to end water fluoridation in America, we might see the tide beginning to turn. RCR will continue to keep you informed on this developing story. Now, over to Natalie Cutler-Welsh and RCR Signpost.
Thanks, Megan. Happy Friday, everyone. I'm Natalie, and this is The Signpost, your friendly guide to the best shows for your weekend listening. Did you catch last night's episode of 360? Alistair Harding and Marie Buskey explored the government's proposed gene technology bill, which could eliminate crucial environmental and health safeguards, depriving you of the right to know what's in your food, and exposing you to totally unknown, potentially catastrophic risks. Let's listen to a quick clip from last night's show now.
Have you been able to track where this is coming from? Who's writing these things? It just seems like the same old story over and over again. They're using exactly the same arguments all around the world in lockstep and so many different things. And this is just another example of that.
Yeah, most certainly the arguments are coming ultimately from the industry. But what has happened is that the industry now has a whole bunch of scientists who are dependent on industry funding. These are career genetic engineers who spend their lives developing GM crops and increasingly gene-edited crops. Gene editing, I want to emphasize to your listeners, is a form of genetic modification. That's technically the case, it's scientifically the case, and until now it's been legally the case as well. And the industry wants to say, oh no, this is not GM at all.
It is time to say no. The submission deadline is days away. It's this Monday, February 17. So make sure you share the show and spread the word to get as many voices heard as possible. Visit www.genetechgamble.co.nz for your free action pack and feedback template. I'm also excited today to share my chat with Ilya Knepenhalt about the Offline Club, which is all about the power of disconnecting to reconnect. Around the globe, they curate digital detox events, phone-free experiences, and offline community hangouts for people and businesses to unplug, relax, and connect with others. And with 7 clubs around the world now and growing, it is definitely a concept that is resonating. It was so incredible to talk to him. We discuss all that, plus the importance of setting boundaries, being present, and the upcoming 24-hour Global Digital Detox Challenge. Paul Brennan connects with Whangarei Mayor Vince Cocorello to discuss the hot topic of water fluoridation, government pressure, and legal implications faced by local councils, as well as the new private members bill on water fluoridation. And don't miss the weekly roundup with Diwa DeBoer and William McGimpsey, where they explore New Zealand's political landscape, the National Party's economic policies, and international issues like the US budget deficit. While Farzan Irani brings a sharp economic perspective and keen insights to the table on money talks, discussing interest rates, mortgage implications, and the global economic landscape. Over the weekend, you can catch up on other highlights this week, including Paul Brennan's riveting interview with Professor Rob McCulloch, who critiques the government's Active Investor Plus visa. In Perigo's perspective, Lindsay Perigo and Paul tackle political dynamics with figures like Trump and Musk, plus Bob McCroskey and Rodney Hyde break down media bias, while the debut of Rural Report with Jaspreet and Don looks into the government's environmental policies affecting rural communities. If you've got thoughts on the latest interviews or big issues, we want to listen. You can send us a text, 2057, or if you prefer email, you can send that to inbox@realitycheck.radio. That's it from me. I'm celebrating RFK. Have an amazing weekend, everyone. And Megan, back to you.
And that's all from the Daily Brief team for this week. We hope you're enjoying the show. As always, you'll find all the links to the interviews featured in today's episode below. Thanks for tuning in. Happy Valentine's Day. We'll catch you next week. Until then, see ya.